James had us in a plank position. And I'm looking at James, and in my head, I'm having this negative self-talk, like, this older, skinny guy is in this position, and I'm not going to let he outdo me. Like most males, we end up in competition. And yoga is not about a competition. So it basically, James was teaching me that in the form of yoga, not even realize it, by saying, hey, back up out of it, take a few breaths, get your head together, and then come back in. And then you back in line again. And I said, wow, this is totally opposite of how I used to react to things. So I see this because my heart, body, and mind was not in line with each other. They were basically fighting against each other. And now I'm learning to line them up. And as I line them up, my life starts to line up as well.
Welcome to Guys Talking Yoga, a podcast created to help inspire men to get into the practice of yoga by sharing the stories of other guys. I'm your host, Derek VanderWalker, and this show is our third and final in the Prison Yoga Project series, a great nonprofit in California that's doing an amazing job bringing yoga to incarcerated people, not only in this country, but all over the world. Today's guest is Darnell Moe Washington. You know, I hear a lot of stories about how yoga has helped guys with their backs, being able to deal with just aging in general, with sleep, with stress, with relationships. And that stuff's all legit and true. But Moe is a pretty wild story. He grew up in the late 70s and early 80s in the greater Los Angeles area. He was a great basketball player. He was one of the top defensive players on his team. He was a popular guy. He was named as sort of the prom prince and considered the best dancer in his grade. And he was just a guy who was a good soul with a good heart. And sadly, his uncle was shot and killed when he was in his teens. And also not much later, his 15-year-old cousin was killed in a gang-related incident. And Moe kind of lost his way. He lost his way holding all that anger and resentment. And he no longer was focused on school. And he got into the gang lifestyle. And he did that for a number of years and got totally caught up in it. And he knew it was destroying his community and himself and his family by being a part of that. And one day he ended up killing someone, taking another's life. And he was charged and convicted and sentenced to 35 years to life. And he knew on his very first day when he entered the prison system that he needed to change his life. And eventually he was able to get himself into San Quentin, which was a facility that had more access to volunteer programs for incarcerated people who have made the effort to improve their lives and earn their ability to be a part of those programs. And while he was in San Quentin, he met James Fox. And yoga changed his life. I love the story, and I love to hear what Moe's doing with his practice and where he's taking it. Thanks for listening. Moe Washington, great to have you on, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so you and I have caught up a little bit, and I know it took you a while to get into yoga, but where did your story and your path start?
Well, it's had a lot of transformations from being in school, growing up in South Central LA. You know, it was gangs there. But I stayed focused in school, and, you know, I really enjoyed school. I found who I was in school. You know, I played basketball, went to high school championship, and everything was going good. And I went to college, my first semester of college. I came home from college one day, and my 15-year-old cousin, I got shot point blank in the forehead with a shotgun in a drive-by. After that, I continued to try to stay focused in school, but I couldn't. I couldn't stay focused. I was just so hurt. Couldn't deal with the pain. Dropped out of college. At the same time, it was a perfect storm because crack cocaine was coming to our communities.
So let me ask you to clarify. When you lost your cousin, this was in the late 80s?
Yeah, this was 1983.
So this was in the early 80s.
Yes.
You lose someone close to you and immediately your world shifts. You know, a painful experience, your world shifts. And it took you whatever track you were on as far as just life itself. And so, like, what drove you into moving into gangs in that community? I know that you were dealing with the pain and the struggle, but, like, how did you get there? How did you fall into that? And what made you go in that direction at that time in your life after losing your cousin?
Basically, the gang I joined, which is a gang that my uncle started and was the leader in the gang. Mm. But he always influenced me to stay in school. Mm. So once this happened, you know, I had no other choice. Not no other choice, but the options I was there, you know, there was no one there to really consult me or counseling or any of these things that they have now. So the way I was brought up as well, if you harm one of our family members, we're going to seek revenge on you.
Yeah.
So that automatically kicked in as well, along with the hurt and the pain and the guilt for me not being there for him as well.
Yeah.
So you have all of those different dynamics that play in into a young person. And the most thing in his head, a young man, is like, you hurt mine, I'm going to hurt yours.
Yeah.
So it's easy to make that choice.
And so you left college and you entered that community. And how did you end up leading you into ultimately living a life and being incarcerated?
Well, after years of gangbanging and being involved in a lot of violence, I was eventually arrested and charged with first degree murder, convicted, and sent off to prison. At that time, I was 29 years old.
Late 80s?
No, late 90s then.
This is late 90s, wow. A solid decade being in a gang in LA. And how many years were you in the prison system before you even got to yoga? Like, how many years did you do in that world and that experience?
I was in Corcoran State Prison for 4 years. I was in CMC State Prison, California Men's Colony, for 10 years. So 14 years, I go to San Quentin, and I get introduced to yoga. I try it one time at our little health fair, and then that was it. But months later, one of my friends said, hey, Mo, you want to get in a yoga class? I said, yeah, I might get into it. It might be good for me. Because what I started thinking about, a lot of men, when we get older, our posture starts to lean.
Yeah.
And I know that yoga does a lot of twists. So I said, let me go ahead and try this out. Just, you know, let me just venture into this thing.
So let me ask you this. First of all, for the listeners here who don't realize that when people are incarcerated, you do move from prison to prison.
Well, when you first come to prison, like I came in with a murder, my points were high. We have points where they grade you.
Yep.
So you start off on a level 4, which is high security. As you continue to work and program, your points drop. You go to like a level 3 prison, which have a little more openness to it, a lot of more programs.
Yep.
You continue to program them, you go down to a level 2. Level 2, like San Quentin, is wide open. You know, they had like over 2,000 volunteers coming in. They had over 100-something groups there. So you was able to find who you were there. There's so many different programs you can find who you are at there and seek the help that you want in any way that you want.
Do you remember hearing about yoga the first time?
You know, it's funny. I think when I used to think of yoga, I used to think of Richard Simmons, like his little stuff he used to be doing. But then I did see yoga, and my perception of it from having the gang mentality, that masculinity, seeing man in tight shorts, it was like a total turnoff. Like, I'm not putting that on. I'm not getting in that.
Yeah.
So I always had like a negative view from it, from a male masculinity point of view.
And so when they started offering yoga, and you were at San Quentin at that time, right?
Yes.
Who helped you access it and learn about it?
Well, I had a friend named Red Fry, and he was in restorative justice with me. And, you know, he really liked me, introduced me to different things, got me on the Day of Peace there. You know, and he like, man, Mo, this would be good for you. You need to try yoga, and it's a space open. I'm going to get you in. I didn't want to turn him down. I said, okay, yeah, I'll take it. And and it took off from there.
Was this James Fox's his program at the time in San Quentin?
He had been practicing with James for a while.
Okay.
So he talked to James, and I got introduced to it.
So your friend knew a little bit about this stuff. And so you started doing the yoga with James Fox, the Prison Yoga Project. Was it right out of the gates the first time you were like, there's something here, like I kind of like it? Or did it take you a few sessions to be kind of warm up to it?
I think as each session went along, I realized that I'm exercising parts of my body that I never did.
What parts do you remember feeling like, wait a minute, these things have not been moving like this in a while?
Like with my legs, like even though I used to do sit-ups, but there's something about those twists that just makes you really feel good. And it's like makes you straight up. And I just started feeling like my posture was changing or my core was getting stronger. And I think I was doing more strenuous things like with sit-ups and things mm-hmm. like that. But with the twist, it was doing the same thing. And it wasn't like a strenuous thing. It was like ease your body into it. And as I started easing my body into it, I found myself, you know, when I get up in the morning in my bed, I started doing these little things. So it just started clicking.
How does feeling stronger in your core and your legs as a starting point help you with living your life in that community and that environment?
Well, as I'm getting older too, it's, you know, one thing I looked at, like my posture was straight up, right? And it was, when I look back on it, it's like, okay, my posture is straight up. Maybe my attitude is even getting better. You know what I'm saying? And I look at it as far as like my perspective for things are changing. You know, my heart is changing. You know, my body is in line now. I'm not, you know, I notice at times I would be, my head is in one place, my body is in one place, and my heart is in another place.
So yoga helped with this?
Yeah, it helped with it because one situation we were at doing yoga, and it was like in the beginning part, a little ways into it, and James had us in a plank position. And I'm looking at James, and in my head, I'm having this negative self-talk, like, this older, skinny guy is in his position, and I'm not going to let he outdo me. Like most males, we end up in competition, and yoga is not about a competition. So I'm looking at him, and he's in this plank position, looking straight, and he's talking calmly, and I'm over here shaking in my boots because I'm in competition with him and got a puddle of sweat underneath me because I'm so into not letting him outdo me. Because, hey, I'm the strong man. I do burpees on the yard. I do bar work. But my heart, body, and mind was not in line with each other like James. And he's talking so calmly. But I always remember one thing he said, that, you know, you get tired, back up out of it and go in a downward dog. Hey, but I'm a tough guy. I'm not backing up out of anything. That was my reality when I was in the gang. That was my reality when I was in all kind of things. And eventually I just collapsed to the floor. And like basically like tapped out. But after that class, I went back and I started, you know, I have a mindfulness practice and I started thinking about everything that went on. And I said, man, this is just how I started reacting, being a reactive person when I was in the game. I wouldn't back down and I would stay in an argument until I would just take off, end up just started fighting or something instead of stepping out and taking a breath. So it basically, James was teaching me that in the form of yoga, not even realize it, by saying, hey, back up out of it, take a few breaths, get your head together, and then come back in. And then you back in line again. And I said, wow, this is totally opposite of how I used to react to things. So I'm like, okay, this thing is really going someplace with me now. And like James explained, this is not about muscles and strength. It's about, you know, heart, body, and mind. And I was like, okay, I see this because my heart, body, and mind was not in line with each other. They were basically fighting against each other. And now I'm learning to line them up. And as I line them up, my life starts to line up as well.
What year was it when you first took this class with James Fox? Do you remember?
2012.
This is 11 years ago.
Yeah.
So as you look back on those first couple of years, having more agency than you realize, meaning like, I can back away from this plank. I can back away from this argument. Did that kind of stuff start to develop early on? Or is that something that it took more time to cultivate that?
Well, in the process of doing yoga, I was into a lot of groups as well. And it's almost like they were in line with yoga. Yoga was in line with them. I'm taking it in, but I wasn't all the way applying it yet. But as time went on, okay, now I'm starting to apply it. And I'm seeing the results of it. So I'm applying it more to where I say yoga was like a practice for me. But like I say also is that something can only be a practice for so long. It should revert into being your natural way. You know, it's your nature now. Mm-hmm. So now I look at yoga is my nature. I can do yoga in anything I do now. I do it at work. You know, I'm on my feet all day, standing, watching this game, making sure these people don't come in. So when my break is nobody's coming around, I started doing sun salutation just to stretch out because I'm on my legs all day long and I do twists, you know, and things like that just to keep my body right. Because on your feet all day, you can start to lean to your hip one way or another and you get out of balance. So that yoga helps me stay, you know, in a good position. And my coworkers look at me like, man, what are you doing? I said, you need to try it. You're on your feet all day. Believe me, it'll work for you.
Yeah. So in San Quentin, how often were you doing yoga with James Fox in the prison yoga project?
I would do it once a week on Tuesdays. I think it was from one to two, something like that. One to two. And I would leave there and go to group and just being in the right space of mind.
Did you end up realizing that after you were done with that Tuesday class that you were already looking forward to the next Tuesday class? Did you find that you were really like, you wish you had more reps and exposure throughout the week?
Yeah. Because it's like, it always gave me something to think about, you know? And then like when James is teaching us yoga, he's constantly talking to us as well about different things, about mindfulness, about your heart and, you know, in your mind and your body and how this is working your body. To where now it's like you're paying attention to it. It's almost like when you're doing meditation and you're doing a body meditation, like be mindful of your toes, be mindful for your stomach, your arm. So he's telling us these things as well. So now I'm getting more of a lesson than just someone telling me to go in different positions. He's guiding me through this in my body, and I'm being aware of these body parts that he's saying that it's working. So I'm like, okay, so it's taking my mind off of just doing what you call it. I'm being more aware of my body parts and how the yoga is affecting me.
Yeah. Did you see yoga having a similar effect on guys at San Quentin?
Yes. I mean, a lot of guys started to want to get into it because it's like, you know, for me being a former gang member and being involved in it and the person I was before and people seeing my attitude. And I remember one day one of my friends walked up and said, "Man, Mo, you walk straight up like a robot." And then I said, "It's got to be the yoga because that's what I've been doing differently. And that's what I've been working on." And I think your whole demeanor and, you know, people's perspective of you, they ask you what's going on with you. And I can say yoga is playing an important part in this, you know, and now I want to bring that same part to my community because, you know, people never know what can open their heart and mind to relieve the stress and the pressure of daily things that they're going through. And yoga just happened to be one of those ones for me.
Yeah. Were you allowed to bring a yoga mat to your cell at San Quentin and be able to do it in, or were you only allowed to do yoga in the location where James Fox and those guys practice their classes?
No, only in the location he had all of the mats for us. But like I said, you don't need a mat to take to your cell. You still have your bunk. You know, you can do different stretches on your bed. Like, you know, James influenced me like to do certain stretches when I wake up in the morning to stretch my body up before I get off of my bunk and how to do it. So it's like, it doesn't necessarily have to be a mat. You're laying in a bed, you know, and you can do it right then before you get up in the morning instead of just jumping right off of the bunk. And your body is not even, you know, it's not even awake. But if you do those little stretches before you jump off the bunk, it's like you have more of a soft landing.
And it's not just the stretches. Like, I mean, the way I see it is you're sort of just checking in on what's going on with your body. Like, what do you feel? And I think it helps you, you know, get ready for whatever you're doing next. I mean, that could be making a cup of coffee. That could be going to the gym for a bigger workout or going for a run. Do you find today that your morning start with some form of yoga, whether it's short or long, yoga work?
Yeah, I think so. Like in the morning when I get up, you know, little stretches and things like, cause I get up to go to work at 4:45 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just doing little things in the morning, you know, bending my legs back and then yoga teaches me patience to the show, like not to just jump up and go. Take a little time to do a little something, treat your body to something, you know, practice loving kindness on your body before you take that step out of bed and go on your daily way, you know, instead of not just always in the rush.
Yeah. So going back to over a decade ago, you were in your mid to late 40s. Is that right?
Yes.
You're 58 now, right? How has yoga helped you with dealing with a body that's getting older every year and changing? And how has it helped you specifically?
Well, I think with yoga, it has me more informed with my inner body than my outer body. You know, so no, I'm not going to be this big muscular guy or anything, and I'm not worried about that. My thing is just treating my body right. And treating my body right, basically, from the inside out, you know, because of impermanence, as we learn in the Buddhist practice, your body structure is going to change. But inwardly, you can keep it at a certain pace to where your heart, body, and mind is in the same space. That doesn't have to change. You can keep that in line with each other. And I think that's the most important thing, is doing that. Because like, I still do strenuous workouts as well. But at the end of my strenuous workout, I always close it with yoga.
Yeah.
And then meditation.
To kind of knit it all back, right? After doing all that work.
Right. Because like you in a strenuous situation, and then you go to yoga, and then everything gets in a line. And like, I sit and meditate, just like James used to like have us in corpse pose at the end. And it's just, you know, it's like you done been through all of this rough day. And now I'm just going to lay back in this corpse pose and just release everything, you know, release my thoughts and everything, just release and just lay down. And it reminds you that I need to do that during the day. Just stop.
Check in.
And be aware of my body.
Yeah, absolutely. So, by the way, you are no longer in San Quentin. You got out about almost a year ago. Is that right?
Yes, I did 26 years, and I went to the parole board this year, and I was granted parole. And now I'm out, and I'm staying in the Bay Area right now, but I'm going to be back in L.A. That's where my home base is at.
How much credit do you give yoga and James Fox and those guys who helped introduce you to yoga to your ability to make parole and to leave San Quentin as a thriving person who's just full of life again? How much of that did yoga contribute to?
It contributed a lot, because it made me very mindful of my body, you know what I'm saying, as well as like, you know, my thoughts, my actions, my words. And, you know, in James, the relationship we built was such a healthy, like, big brother relationship as well. And it just increased my mindfulness even more, of being aware of things around me, being aware of my body. And it was a funny thing. I went to my psych report, and they asked you these questions. And the same thing happened with the board. And they was like asking me, do you still think you're a criminal? And it's like my mindfulness practice kicked in. I said, no, I don't think I'm still a criminal, but I have criminal thoughts. So the psych said, well, why do you say that? I said, well, I went to breakfast this morning, and they started giving us real turkey, and I love turkey. So I'm walking towards the guy to get the lunch. I decided, well, I can ask the guy for two lunches, but then I can walk out the door, and the police can see me with two lunches and write me up. And then the second thing was like, well, I could take the lunch, and I can walk out the door, and the officers don't say nothing to me, and I think I could do it again. Or thirdly, I can just take what I have, be grateful for that, walk out the door, follow rules and regulations, which lead to me doing the same thing when I get out of prison. So I picked the third choice. So it's almost like the same with yoga. It's like you don't force yourself into anything. Like Jane would tell you, if you can't do this position, I'm going to give you a modified position. So you can either modify it, or you can stay in that position that you know that your body can't be in and hurt yourself.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with the turkey. It could have hurt me when I went to the board. It can hurt me if I try to force myself in this position and not modify it. So I had to modify my thinking, like I had to modify positions. So all of that stuff is interconnected.
The real work is in the modifying and accepting of how you're modifying your mind and your body. It's like you could muscle through that plank that you were doing in the beginning on that first class, and you think you're working harder, but you're actually not really doing the work that you need to do. It's like we on the yoga mat need to work on knowing and feeling what we're sensing, what is right or wrong about what I'm doing in this pose and whether I need to modify it. Like the real work is sort of modifying the pose, which using a yoga block or a chair or a wall might seem like cheating, but that actually is the work that needs to be done versus trying to cheat through the plank by just muscling it out entirely, because eventually that catches up. I mean, just forcing yourself to do things that you know you can't quite do yet. And there's a metaphor in there for lots of things, right? Awesome to see you come out of your journey through all of you've been through. And you were telling me that you're looking to bring yoga to others in the community in LA, right?
Yes. I just started my nonprofit organization called African American Community Healing. I'm in the process right now is getting my website up and going, but that's what I want to bring. I want to bring yoga. A lot of my friends look up to me as well and see where I, the space I am in my life. And in our community, I have a lot of friends, especially male friends. It's like dying in their 50s. And, you know, and it's just because of lack of taking care of themselves. So, you know, one of the things I want to do is bring these guys together as well as young ladies together. Let's start taking care of our bodies, you know, and yoga can be one of those things that we do, because I know as we get older, a lot of my friends tell me about the aches and pains that they're having. And yoga can help with those aches and pains. And we can just spend time together doing yoga. And I think by coming from me, they were more be apt to want to do it, because yoga has such a bad name in the Black community for certain reasons. We look at a lot of times, people look at it being too expensive to get in. And the other one is that people didn't have bad experiences where they had bad instructors and that forced them in a position they shouldn't do. So with James coming and starting off and explaining these things about, you know, modifying your position and things like that, and me being able to make it available free where I'm only paying the instructor, I just want you to come in to take care of yourself. And I think those two things right there will help more people get involved inside of it. Because my mother already said she wants to get involved in it as well, because I told her one day it was raining in our space and we couldn't get on the floor. So James had us doing yoga, sitting in chairs. So once I told my mother that, she said, okay, well, me and my friends, we can do that. I said, it works all different type of way. It's just, it's, hey, it's available to you, whatever space and your body is in.
Yep. Being in special spaces and mothers and family and all the things that makes life great. You're in a special spot right now for this interview, right?
Yeah. When I was a kid, I used to ride the bus. My mother drove RTD buses. So she would give me like $20 for riding with her. So I would just ride the bus down Wilshire Boulevard, get off skateboard, back and forth all the way till I make it to Santa Monica Beach. I would go into the mall. I was a skateboarder, so I would buy me some Open Pacific shorts or either a shirt, go next door to McDonald's, buy me a caramel ice cream, come down here to Santa Monica Beach, and I used to just sit out here at the beach. So while I'm down here, I thought this would be the perfect space to come do this yoga interview. And after it's over with, go out there and just sit and like, look where I'm at now. Look what I'm actually doing now from the transformations in my life. And now I'm right back here in this space again.
You know, it's just sometimes life has crazy turns, but, you know, you've really deeply experienced a lot of the things that make yoga, by the way, hard to articulate on why it makes such an impact. It's something that people really have to do and work on and feel within themselves to really get a sense of what it can do. And I could tell, like, you're into it. You believe in it and you want to share it. So I think it's just awesome that you are looking to take everything you've learned and share that with so many other people. So I just want to say thank you for listening to your heart and taking that direction and just deepening your practice. Because, you know, we need more people in all different communities, especially, I think, you know, with men to get in this stuff. They need people to help bring it to them that they can relate to and they can connect with as somebody who understands their perspective and their experience and their challenges and their reluctances to get in this stuff. And so thank you for doing what you do and for who you are and what you're going to be accomplishing in the years to come.
Well, I appreciate you having me here and that's, you know, and being able to expose, you know, me and everything I've been through in my transformations, and just goes to show that, you know, if you keep working hard and putting yourself in the right space and having an open mind to different things, how those things could help you, because, you know, you can always be open to something and try it to see if you like it. But if you got all these perceptions of something that you never even tried, you never know what you may be losing.
Yeah. You just got to get in there and try it. Well, Mo, great to finally connect. Thank you for sharing some time with us and all the thought and intention you've put into sharing your story. And when you're ready to share the links to your project and your website and your mission, we'll make sure we update the summary for the episode and the links on the website to make sure people can find you and also support you as well.
Okay, I appreciate that, because one thing about it, we're all connected to one another.
That's right. That's right. Well, Mo, thanks for connecting with all of us and sharing some time. I look forward to catching up again down the road someday.
Okay. Appreciate you having me.